a man who knows how to make the best of any kind of weather, second only in cheerfulness and a positive attitude to our Larry Weber. It's Tom Casper, our host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners. Howdy there, sunshine.
Wow, that's quite a pedestal for me to fall from.
Yeah, so be careful. Use the handrails.
You got to use the handrails going up and down.
Exactly. Exactly.
How are you today?
Well, I kind of like rock to this whole social isolation thing to an extent, and I have to say that whoever thinks that the whole coronavirus thing is a plot by dogs is probably absolutely right. I have never seen so many happy dogs ever, and that's just in my house. I mean, you see dogs, you know, walking with their folks out. People are still getting out, you know, like the governor said, and they're recreating, getting some fresh air, and the dogs are like, ooh, this just rocks.
Yeah, I've noticed that, too.
Gardening with dogs, big mistake, though. Big mistake.
Yeah, lots of folks being walked by dogs.
Yeah, and the dogs are just delighted.
Yeah. Gardening with dogs, big mistake. It can be a challenge with pets, you know, and trying to keep them where they're supposed to be and not supposed to be and things like that if you garden. But certainly well worth the investment or the time put in if you do want to have pets in the garden. But today we're going to talk about a couple of other things. As you mentioned, the weather looks a little iffy here and there, some sunshine and some nice days, also some rain and maybe even a little bit of the snow word. But we are kind of rolling into that time of the year, and certainly with the events that are going on around us and the social isolation that people are adhering to, it's maybe a good time to spend some time, if you're outside in your yard doing some things, especially as it starts to dry up a little bit. You don't want to go out and power rake the lawn right now. There's too much moisture in the soil and stuff like that. You can compress the soil and actually damage your lawn by doing that. But, you know, in the next week or so, as it starts to warm up, like you said, into the low 50s on Monday, might be a good opportunity to start doing some of those things and doing pruning. Lots of folks had rabbit damage this past winter, rabbit, voles, mice, and deer damage. So now we're really in that time of going out and starting to prune some of that out of our trees and shrubs. So now is the perfect time to do that if you're looking for something to do in the yard.
Snowplow damage.
Snowplow damage, getting that gravel off of your lawn, stuff like that. It's really an opportune time to do things like that. It's also a great time to be thinking about, you know, with this, the problems that are going on the recommendations of staying closer to home and or in your home or by your home and the need to recreate or need maybe to even create, it's a great time to be thinking about something you want to do in your yard, whether there's a huge interest and all the national talk around gardening right now is that there's going to be this huge interest in people growing their own food. And there has been, but they're believing, according to some of the national trends, that growing your own food will just explode this year. And it has been progressively growing over the last decade, with concern about how far our food travels and pesticide residue and all sorts of things. But this year, especially, folks are expressing a lot of interest in growing their own food. So for those of us that have done that before, that's not, there'd be another year of doing it. But for folks that are looking at it for the first time and what to do, there's really an easy process you can follow. You really want to find that, as far as growing vegetables or that part of your own food, you want to find the sunniest spot in your yard. So, you know, in the next couple of days, as you're looking around your yard, you're cleaning up your yard, start thinking about where that sunniest spot is that you could build a garden. And then really start to plant it and Think about what you want it to look like, what you want to have in it, and even start thinking about where you want to get those plants from or those seeds from. Some folks that are looking for unique choices will be able to find those. Others that are looking for standard kinds of things can also find those at greenhouses or even some of the big box stores. It sounds like some folks also in the greenhouse world are going to be offering delivery and virtual tours and pickup and curbside pickup and delivery, sorts of stuff like that. So,
nice.
So there's going to be an opportunity really for folks to because of this unfortunateness of what's happening, but there still may be this opportunity for really some personal growth as far as in the gardening world. For folks to develop an interest or an idea or further a concept that they'd like with vegetable gardening and with gardening in their own. And flowers, are going to be strong too, but really the area, again, is in the food, growing some of her own food and having ideas where it came from or comes from, and stuff like that. So
remind us again what our zone is.
Most of the Duluth area is Zone 4. You get north of Duluth towards the Iron Range, it's Zone 3, down by the lake, and really within about a half mile of the lake, you can even grow some Zone 5 stuff. Now, that applies, the zoning applies not so much to vegetables and annuals, because most of those aren't winter hardy. That's really a winter hardy measure.
So that's like roses and stuff.
Roses and blueberries and apple trees.
Got it.
And stuff like that, you know, that you want to make sure you're buying hardy stuff for.
So if you're curious about what you could grow, maybe you've got an idea about what you want to grow, and then you just pop that into a Google search and write something like, can I grow beans in Zone 4 or something? But otherwise, you just pop into a Google search, what vegetables can I grow in Zone 4? And I'm guessing you'll get so many web hits, you won't even know where to start.
Yeah, you would get millions of web hits from all sorts of growers and suppliers and stuff like that. So really, as far as vegetables for us, just about anything that's being offered locally now. And if you look at the tags, there's a big question when you go to a greenhouse or go purchase a plant, it's going to tell you how many days to maturity. And that's really a number that you do want to pay attention to. Really, you want to make sure that number, like in a tomato plant, if it says 120 days to maturity, you know that more than likely you're not going to get any ripe tomatoes. But if it's 90 days or less, you know, in the 80s, chances are you'll get a nice crop of tomatoes. And there's lots of varieties of nice, hardy tomatoes that do well in our climate. And folks, you know, tomato is certainly a mainstay in the garden, and everybody seems to love to grow them. So
as soon as I get off the air, I am going to do a Google search. What is the weirdest vegetable you can grow in Zone 4? And depending on what I come up with, I might just plant one.
Yeah. Well,
I'm not saying I'm going to eat it. I'm saying I might just plant one.
Yeah, folks, you know, are kind of fascinated that we can grow artichokes here, endive, a couple of other things that are, you know, almost feel a little bit tropical, that if you get them in the ground at the right time and they're in the right location and you take care of them, you can get some produce from them, you know.
Well, I'm pretty heartbroken about the whole hazelnut thing, because, yes, you can grow hazelnuts, but you are fighting with everybody else in the natural world over those hazelnuts.
Yeah.
And until I get some better fencing and, you know, electric shocks and deer sprayers and the hazelnuts just, you know, gulp, they're gone.
Yeah, the deer love you for planting those.
Yeah, planting everything, just the whole thing, boop, gone.
Yeah, and that certainly is a challenge that I didn't mention, that if you are, or when you are planting that vegetable garden, maybe you want to just do containers. and grow some up on a deck or a patio or something like that. But you do need to consider deer or natural predators on that garden, because rabbits and deer, you know, they basically are watching from the woods while you're planting it.
Oh, yeah, and making notes.
And making notes of what they're going to eat first.
Exactly.
So you can, you know, fencing's a good option, or you mentioned a sprayer. I, for years, have used a sprayer that you hook up to your hose, and it actually squirts water at any object that walks in front of it, including me numerous times.
There you go.
And it works very well to keep those kinds of things out of the garden. And, of course, it's all natural and mobile and inexpensive.
And no one is harmed, you know. I mean, you know, maybe psychically a little bit, but no one is permanently harmed in the scooting of things out of your garden. So,
right.
And I would imagine that that could work for neighborhood kids, too, if you said it
yeah.
right.
Yeah, that's right.
Cool.
That's right. And whatever you do, you know, and we'll talk about this more, but if you do some kind of control program, starting it early, before they even, you know, the day you put in a garden, put something up to protect it, because the deer will get used to that sprinkler or that spray and know that it's something that they shouldn't do, and they'll stay away from naturally after a while. It becomes a learned,
right.
Habit for them. So,
Tom Casper's second career is deer training, and we'll find out more about that next time on Tips for Hardy Gardeners. Hey, thanks for joining us this morning, Sunshine. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks, all right?
Sounds great. You hang in there.
I'm going to. Tom Casper this morning, our host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners, a regular feature of every other Tuesday here on KUMD.